The Virtuous Woman. Brought to you by The Way of Peace Ministries and Seraph Oaks International, bringing the gospel of peace to all women. Pastor Elizabeth Bonkley is the author of the book Virtuous Woman and pastors the Church of the Living Stone in Vadnais Heights, Minnesota, and is the founder of Seraph Oaks International. It's Pastor Elizabeth's passion to stir up women for Jesus Christ and empower them with what the Word of God has to say about them. Now let's get into this week's message. Here's Pastor Elizabeth Bonkley.
Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank and worship you. Thank you for another day that you, the Lord, you have made. Thank you because we are going to be glad and we're going to rejoice in it. Thank you because your hand that saves us, that love, that hand is enough to sustain us. And so, Lord Jesus, we look unto you and we say, Lord, you will just guide us by your love and we will be exactly what you want us to be. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to continue with Mary Magdalene, the one that is an example of what God can turn a life that is distorted, that is scattered, what God can turn such a life to make it a masterpiece. Mary Magdalene, we are told, has so many problems, but that problem was not what Mary allowed to continue to dictate her life. At the point that she met the Lord, everything about her turned around. You know, the Bible told us in that 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I love that verse so much, and I love so many verses in the scripture, but 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. So what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness to clear yourself, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. Can we say, you know, godly sorrow is what Mary had, and it's what every Christian must have to be able to turn to an instrument in the hand of God, to be able to absorb God, to be able to open up to God completely. There must be a godly sorrow. In the case of Mary Magdalene, the godly sorrow in her was, look at how I've been living my life without Christ. Look at how my life has been. That godly sorrow will not bring a reward. The reward of godly sorrow is repentance. Repentance means that you turn to the opposite direction. You've been going this way, then you say, I'm not going that way, I will be going this way. That is repentance. Godly sorrow is what makes you to see who you used to be, and the gospel now that is coming to you, open your eyes to see the position you are, and you now long for a new thing. That's godly sorrow that leads to repentance. That repentance will lead to your salvation. That salvation will not leave no regret. Unfortunately, worldly sorrow brings death. Now, Mary Magdalene received the Lord Jesus. Before you can receive Jesus, the gospel will first of all open your eyes to see the deplorable position you are, to see the pathetic position you are, to see your situation, to see how abased you are. Now, the power of the gospel will now give you alternative that, you know what? You will not remain here. You can go to this other side. And that is what leads to our salvation. And that salvation leaves no regret. There's no one that has ever walked with the Lord and say, I regret that I'm walking with the Lord Jesus. or I regret that I'm born again. No, it's not possible, because it's multiplication of power and faithfulness of God that you receive the moment you start that glorious walk with the Lord. Now, when we are saved, when we don't have any regret, like Mary Magdalene that had been saved, no more regret for her. What she expected to do. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 10. And this is where so many of us as Christians, we could miss it. We just get saved and say, so I was born again in the year 1920. Okay, it's okay. But after you are born again, what are you expected to do? We want to learn that in the life of Mary. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 10:12 and see the instruction of God through Moses to the people of Israel. And I want us to remember that the whole Bible is the love letter of the Lord Almighty to every Christian. And so the Old Testament, the New Testament, they are all put together for your good. So many Christians believe that the New Testament is relevant to 21st century. No, the scripture cannot be broken. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And so let's go to the Old Testament, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, and let's read from verse 12. What does the Bible say? And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I want you to take note on how that verse 12 starts. It said, and now, O Israel, and you can put your name in that Israel. And now, O Elizabeth, you can put your name there. What does the Lord your God ask of you? What is the Lord asking of me? What exactly does God want from me now that I am his child? What does the Lord want from me? The Lord continued to ask that question from every one of us. What does the Lord require of you? What does God want from you? What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean that God is asking me for something? What is God asking Mary Magdalene? And from all his disciples, including you and I, we must fear the Lord. We have to fear the Lord. What does it mean to fear? We want to take that verse 12 one by one. What does it mean to fear? Is it the fear of a lion? No, that's a destructive fear. Or the fear of a tornado? No, that's a destructive fear. Or a fear of not going into the plane that, oh, I fear heights. No, that's not the fear. All those fear, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that you have not been given the spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. And so the fear we are talking about is not the destructive fear, but reverential fear. Fear the Lord. Why must I fear the Lord? I have to fear the Lord because he has given me the best he could give. Because he took me from the lowest and put me in the highest. From the lowest of pit of hell and then put me on the throne. That's the reason why I must fear him. You know, I have to honor the Lord. That's what it means to fear him. To hold him in such a high esteem that I will go on to worship him. Is that what Mary Magdalene did? Mary, the moment she received that, what did she do? She started to worship God in all that she's doing. Her thoughts, her deeds, her money, everything concentrated on the Lord. So many Christians have really talked to me about this, that when you say that we should fear the Lord, are you sure that we are not being used by the ministers? Are you sure that it's not a way of getting our money, getting our attention, getting our properties, getting everything that we have, because which means that people are manipulating us? Let me tell you something. If you are a Christian, you are not concentrating on your relationship with any other person, but your relationship is with the Lord, the one who died for you. because he's the one that has shown you that love. You are reciprocating that thing that God had done for you on Calvary. You even go on telling yourself that I cannot even finish. I cannot even do enough. And so you cannot do too much for the Lord. And it's the devil that goes on to hijack and to intercept our communion with the Lord, our fellowship with the Lord, by bringing wrong thoughts that, okay, I think I'm being manipulated here. Oh, why should I do that? No, the Lord is a personal Lord and Savior. What he has done for you is personal. You are only reciprocating it. When Mary Magdalene left his home in Magdala and started to follow Jesus around, and people start to say that, oh, that's Mary that is living in Magdala. Don't forget that's how he got the name Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, that means Mary from Magdala. And she continued following Jesus, using his money. As the apostles were going around, she was staying at the background with other women that, okay, so what will you want for breakfast? It's not as if the apostles and Jesus were manipulating them. They were only looking at, oh, what can we do for the Lord? We will serve him. Is there any of your laundry that we can wash for you? Oh, okay. Take all the laundry. We will do it. Just give them to us. And these women, they just want to reciprocate the love that the Lord has shown to them. So you are not being manipulated, except you have not got it. It's where you will feel that you are being used or you are being manipulated. I tell you, when you can get this great revelation of the great love of the Lord Jesus, who, although is God, came into earth, turned to man to be able to relate, to be able to associate with you and I, so that he will understand the way I think, the way you think, so that he will be the appropriate high priest that will make intercession for you and I. When we understand how much it has cost God to redeem you and I, there's nothing that is too big that we will not be able to do. Mary Magdalene got that revelation, and she was able to be an instrument in the expansion of the kingdom of God. Have you got that revelation? If you have got that revelation, you will not remain the same. You will be spurred into action. You will be ready to work for God. You will be ready to serve the Lord. You will not feel abused, because you will know that you are reciprocating the love of God. How much of that love have you shown to your spouse, to your children, to your neighbor, to your in-laws, to your co-workers? How much of that love can they see in you, that something different is in you? I want us to think about that, and that will be our food for thought. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. Thank you because you are the Lord. Be thou glorified. Oh Lord, you require just this from us, that we fear you, that we walk in your ways, that we love you, that we serve you, Lord, with all our heart and our soul, and that we observe your commands. Give us the grace to be able to do this, to the glory of your holy name. Thank you because our life will not remain the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to The Virtuous Woman with pastor and author Elizabeth Bonkley. Stirring up women for Jesus Christ and empowering all women with the gospel. If you would like to purchase the book, Virtuous Woman, or a copy of today's show, email your request to www.gospelofpeace.org or call 651-398-3022. That's 651-398-3022. Join Pastor Elizabeth Sunday mornings at 9:30 at the Church of the Living Stone at 1010 East Highway 96 in Vadnais Heights, Minnesota. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. You've been listening to Virtuous Woman.